announcing to everyone that Jesus is Lord and Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Jesus had to deal with when he walked on this earth was not physical. In other words, he was able to feed people, he was able to heal the sick, he was able to do all sorts of wonderful things for people with physical problems. But Jesus made clear that was not the primary reason for which he came. The primary reason he came in laying down his life was to set people free from their sins. The problem was people did not have the spiritual eyes to see, nor the ears to hear what he was saying. They couldn't see him. They couldn't understand him. His great work was to open eyes and unstop ears so that people would believe in him as the Savior for all of their sins. Dear listener, do you see today? Have your ears been unstopped? We're going to look at this powerful passage in Mark chapter 8, which deals with spiritual sight that Jesus has the power to give you. You should ask him that you might see him. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We are on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. Here is now the program from Mark chapter 8, which I have titled, He Opens the Eyes of the Blind. This is part two of the message that we started yesterday that you can find right at agradio.org. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. We want you to show us a sign from heaven. It says they're testing him. And you say again, are you kidding? Have you not seen them? Have you not seen them everywhere? He had just done one. 4,000 people could testify that their bellies are full in the wilderness from just a few fish. And the next thing we read from Jesus, now think of the deaf man, when he goes, touches, spits, touches. The next thing we read from Jesus, as he heard this, is that he goes again in front of everyone. This was a giant spiritual lesson for his disciples. He sighs deeply over the blindness and the deafness of the Pharisees. And then he says to them, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. I'm not doing that. And you stop and you say, well, signs have been given to this generation all over the place. I mean, what do you mean? You just did one to this generation. Signs have been given to this generation everywhere. What Jesus was simply saying was, I refuse to be controlled by your unbelief. I refuse. No sign will ever be given in response to that attitude. And not just that. You will never be able to perceive or hear or understand my signs when I do them because of that attitude. Well, now it starts to come together a little bit. He walked away from them at that moment, shaking the dust off his feet, illustrating, I do not put up with that kind of attitude and rejection. Done. They get into the boat, they go to the other side, and lo and behold, and here's the connection, the disciples are worried about their bellies. They forgot to take bread. Seeing this? They were worried because they only had one loaf of bread with them in the boat. Now this is two miracles now of feeding 9,000 people fed. 9,000. Mark, as I said, must have enjoyed this. Jesus takes the moment and I believe gives us the great explanation of what leads to people being blind and deaf to him.
Verse 15 is really big. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." Dear disciples, I have got to tell you something. I've got a great caution for you. The bread you're seeking, it's tainted. You say, "What in the world? What do you mean?" Pharisees had just come saying, "Give us a sign." They didn't want to believe that. They didn't want to believe a sign about Jesus. All they cared about was to catch Jesus in a trap. Jesus looks at them and says, "I got a great caution for you guys. You need to know that there is something that is of great threat to you hearing and you seeing me." Remember, this is all training. It's the leaven of Herod and it's the leaven of the Pharisees. There are approaches to me that if you accept and you begin to entertain in your minds and you let it take root in your hearts, it is poison to the bread. It's a kind of unbelief that is deadly, and you need to know about it. What is it? Well, Herod's is not real hard, is it? When we look at the life of Herod, he had one great intention. What was it? To kill Jesus. He hated Jesus. Jesus said, "You tell that fox." He hated Jesus. He was a threat to him. All Herod lived to do was stamp out the name of Jesus. The Pharisees were the same, of course, but they were much more dangerous, for theirs came under the guise of religion. What was the Pharisees' approach? Jesus in chapter 7 had assaulted their repulsive form religion. Remember this. In exposing they had dead hearts in their approach to God, they were constantly trying to undermine Jesus, undermine his message. They would never listen to it. They would never hear it. They were constantly criticizing it. And Jesus is now putting these two responses together, and he's saying, "I need you to beware of something. You have no idea of the effect of this kind of leaven in the kingdom. So please listen carefully," he's saying. "Carefully, be cautioned about this kind of leaven. It corrupts your view of the bread. It blinds you. It stops up your ears." Peter, later on, was so moved by this. Remember in 2 Peter when he would write about the blinding and hardening effect on the human heart? I read it last time. I just want you to hear it one more time. He says, "You guys have all been given precious promises, great and precious promises. So here's your responsibility in the Christian life. You need, in all diligence, to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Why? Well, if you abound in that, you're not going to be lacking in the knowledge of Jesus, he says. But here's what happens. He who lacks in these things, it has an effect on the knowledge of Jesus, and he says, is short-sighted even to blindness. Boy, he learned it. There was a leaven that blinded him to Jesus. I think we're really getting at something big. The Syrophoenician woman had come and he's training them. And look at the simplicity with which she came to Jesus. Look at the heart with which she came to Jesus. I need to eat. I know I'm a dog. I'll eat the crumbs. You don't have to tell me I'm a dog. I know I'm a dog. Call me what you will. I'm still needy. As in a contrary to Herod and this of the Pharisees. See it? See the approaches that we have here. So consider the problem that on the throne of Israel, the leader hated Jesus. And then consider that in Israel, all the pastors hated Jesus. That's a lot of leaven in the lump. What does that do? Well, I can tell you what it does. It raises a certain amount of doubt regarding Jesus. And you take in the criticism and you listen to it. It's easy to begin to listen and accept. And all of a sudden, you have all these doubts in your minds now about Jesus. It has a staggering effect of blindness and hardness and deafness to his word. Do you see the approaches? I wonder how common it is today. Can it be that we're affected by a political environment and everything going against us that is ultimately antagonistic to him? I think that's leaven. And we listen and we listen and we listen and we get discouraged. And what kind of effect does that have? Can it be that our Christian young people run off to colleges that are Christian and professors and intellectual pride and arrogance are constantly seeking to undermine him? If you think that, don't think that can happen, the pastors in Israel were doing it. Doesn't intellectual pride and arrogance, academic pride, have an effect, a blinding effect on people's lives? I've seen this in the course of my ministry. People come back from some college that push nothing but contrary views to Scripture, and they come back all messed up. People in the academy have a deep problem with this. They don't come to sit under the word in humility. It doesn't birth out and bring the kind of godly sorrow that leads to repentance. They sit there trying to find something to discredit. You could have people sitting here today trying to find something. And what are we constantly bombarded with? Living in a world that assaults everything we're doing here as stupid. That affects people, affects me. And we feel like we're losing. The continuous assaults on the person of Christ in the church, the continuous false doctrines that hit us, and what begins to happen? We listen to it. Jesus would even say that the love of many is going to grow cold. Why? Because lawlessness will abound. And where are the people who come to sit under the word anymore? Believe his word, hide it in their hearts in humility like the Syrophoenician woman so that she will not sin against him. And you see how dangerous this is. It's the kind of stuff that we allow. I mean, think about all the agendas being pushed on us right now, and you start to think, well, maybe it's okay. Maybe it's okay. Maybe it's all okay. And doubt set in. And that produces a hardening effect. Ask an honest question this morning. Since your profession of faith, are you hungering and thirsting more for Jesus? Do you love to be in his house, to hear his word? Do you treasure him? Do you pray to him? Do you acknowledge him in your life? He keeps showing you these people, like the Syrophoenician woman. But now consider the sour attitude of the Pharisees. No willingness to hear Jesus. I was reading J.C. Ryle last week. I just love J.C. Ryle. And he said, formal religion attaches excessive importance on that which is the easiest part of Christianity, the shell and the form. Man likes this. He wants something that will not meddle with his conscience and inner life. What then is the result when a person like this is pushed to come to Jesus for spiritual life? What is the result? Here's what he says. Heart religion is too humbling to be popular. It leaves the natural man no room to boast. It tells him that he's guilty, lost, hell deserving, and that he must flee to Christ for salvation. It tells him that he's dead and must be made alive or born again by the Spirit. The pride of man rebels against such tidings. He hates to be told that his case is that bad. That is the leaven, beloved, Jesus is warning about. When he's offering you him for salvation, a pride that seeks to undermine and stand above his message rather than under it, trying to get away from it even. Beware of that leaven. In plain terms, Jesus is saying, take very seriously, dear disciples, how you're being influenced by unbelief. That's what he's saying. Take very serious how you're being influenced with who you hang out with, young people, all that. Very serious how you're being influenced by unbelief. And now he directly calls out his disciples. I think saying it's time to remedy this. That's why I love this. This is so beautiful. This is the gospel. Listen to what happens. He's speaking this warning. We read, they begin to say, is he saying this because we have no bread? You ever feel like you're getting nowhere with your children? Look, I told you a million times to stop that, right? You feel like you're getting nowhere in your teaching? It's like everything he's saying to them is a foreign language. Everything. And Jesus says it. Verse 17. Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you still discussing the fact you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Don't you get it yet? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves with the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? Did you really not see that thing? They said 12. And the 7 for the 4,000. How many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? They said 7. And he said to them, do you not yet get it? Don't you understand yet? Can't you see it yet? Can't you see the sign? Can't you see what the sign is telling you about me? I'm the bread. That's what he's saying. Stupid sheep. Stupid sheep. Listen, if that offends you, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm stupid. I'm stupid in natural things. Do you know how many times at the Parsonage we've had this reoccurring conversation about losing my keys in my wallet? Every time, I mean, this just endlessly goes on. Every time my wife says to me, don't you ever learn? Put them back in the same place, Chris. And I never do it. I mean, I don't care how many times she has to say it. I don't do it. And then it just amazes me every time it happens. I can't believe this happened again. How did this happen again? It's lost again. I have no ability to keep my natural life straight. What am I going to do about Jesus? You realize how needy you are? You know, this last week I was on vacation. We just got to get this out. And I had a terrible experience. I'm camping and this giant bug leaped from my arm into my ear. And it went all the way up into the ear as far as it could. And it completely blocked all my hearing out of that ear. Don't you find that just interesting? Can I read Providence once? They say those things lay eggs up there. I don't know what it did in my ear. We ended up at a nurse's station in Orderville, Utah. 3 nurses are working to try to pull this thing out, first with a syringe, then tweezers, and then forceps. It's a great thing to hear. As I'm sitting there, and this was a painful experience. The thing really did do some damage in the eardrum for a while. I'm begging. She says, on the table, she says, I can't get it out. It's just way up there. She says, I'm going to have to send you to an ear, nose, and throat guy. And I said, Lord, please. And then she grabs it, and she pulls out this giant moth bee. It was awful. And I was so thrilled with those nurses. I jumped up and down. I couldn't believe they got it out. 2 days later, I woke up and I thought, you are absolutely stupid, man. Don't you see it? Your last sermon was on an ear being stopped up. Pastor, do you know your ears need to be unplugged? You gave more concern and panic over a bug in your ear, and you begged the Lord to take it out. And I had everyone saying to me, I couldn't have handled it, couldn't handle it. They had to put me out. You gave more concern and begged the Lord to take it out of your ear. And how many times have you begged the Lord to take the stuff out of your spiritual ears? This whole section began with compassion, didn't it? And I think that leads us to the end. You know what happens? Right in front of them, all of a sudden, a blind man shows up. And Jesus grabs him and takes him away. Intimate moment again with the disciples to close out the second feeding. He spits on his eyes this time. Puts his hands on him. Keep in mind, with the deaf man, he grabbed his ears, spit, touched his tongue. He cried out. His ears were unstopped and his tongue was loosed. Now he spits and he says to the blind man, what do you see? Well, I see men like trees walking. He spits on his hands and eyes again, makes him look up. What do you see now? Everything clearly. I thought about that a lot. Isn't that your experience? Not that hard. Seems so gradual, doesn't it? And Jesus is here showing his disciples. He's given the greatest sermon illustration he could ever give. You see how great your need is for me to open your ears, unstop your ears and open your eyes, and you keep closing them. You keep closing them. But this is what I'm committed to do. The disciples just learned about grace, by the way, powerfully. Tongues will never be loose to praise him until your eyes are made to see and your ears are unstopped. And he had to do this for them, and he has to do that for you. The question I have is, what is your approach? Are you an antagonist like Herod? Are you a formalist who hates preaching that confronts your intense spiritual need, even though you may have everything in this life and seem to have it all together? Are you a needy beggar who knows Jesus must touch your eyes and touch your ears? Even the great apostle Paul, who was a Pharisee running around in zeal for religion, once he was saved, had something like scales fall from his eyes to teach you this truth. I love what Machen once said, our only hope is to throw ourselves unreservedly on God's mercy and trust him for all. It's your only hope. And here's the good news today. It'd be one thing if he's standing back saying, I don't know. I don't know if I want to do it for you. That would really hinder my message. I don't know how I'd go forward. But that's not what we've learned in Mark. All the way back in chapter 2, somebody came to him who had a great physical infirmity and said, Lord, are you willing to heal me? Remember what he said? He reached out his hand. And he said, I'm willing. I'm willing. I have a sincere challenge to everyone here today as we close. I'm asking you to do today, me too, we'll do it right now in prayer, to go home on this day of Sabbath and ask the Lord to remove what has stopped up your ears and what has blinded your eyes to him. Is that a bad request? It will be if you think you see and you think you hear. But if you know what you are, you're going to be on your knees today. And I promise you, your experience coming back to worship will be entirely different. It won't be until they're opened. You'll be critical like a Pharisee. You may even hate Jesus like Herod. But when they're opened and you see, you're going to love being here. When you come humbly like that, I promise you, he's going to show himself to you and your faith will be strengthened and you're going to love him more and you're going to grow more in holiness. And you're going to do what Peter says so that these blinding things in your life would have little effect. Isn't that where we've come with the disciples for the first time? They're now ready in the Gospels to finally say after this, you're the Christ. We see. And Jesus says to you today, who are able to say that, blessed are you. You didn't do that on your own. You never could. I think I've proved that. My Father blessed you from heaven. And if you can confess him today, he says to you, and I close with these words, blessed are your eyes, for they see. And blessed are your ears, for they hear. Now, with tongues loosed, we're going to pray and sing to him. Gracious Heavenly Father, we fully confess that apart from your work, we remain stupid, blind, deaf. And even after we're redeemed, we'll pursue those things and listen to those things that have the effect of shutting our eyes to seeing and closing our ears to hearing. And so wherever we are in life today, we fully confess our constant need for your help. We are the Syrophoenician woman. We know what we are. Would you give us to eat from the master's table, the true bread from heaven, the fragments that are left over, and having eyes to see and ears to hear, that our tongues would be loosed to praise you and acknowledge you in our lives and everything we say and do. Be merciful to us. We're that weak. Don't give us as our sins deserve. And may everyone here, by your power, be born again by the Spirit of God.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.